Amen. Hey, we're going to Matthew this morning. If you want to go ahead and turn in that direction, Matthew, the second chapter. But before we get to there, what we're going to begin this week is I want to spend 3 weeks in this same kind of passage of Scripture as we're heading toward Christmas and a little series that I've put together titled, We Have Seen His Star. We have seen his star. So we're gonna travel with the wise men and look at some different aspects of their journey, not just from the standpoint of remembering the story, although remembering the story is a wonderful thing to do in this season, but also for the purpose of being equipped through it. The historical accounts in the scriptures are not given to us simply as stories as we would read in other history books, but they're given to us to glean from and learn from that we can apply those truths in our lives and be equipped to live for him. So the series, We've Seen His Star. Today, looking at a message titled Following a Star from Matthew chapter number 2, verses 1 through 12. I want to read those first 12 verses with you together here. It says this: After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Of course, that had been written some 700 years before. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Matthew chapter 2 there, verses 1 through 12. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for this account. As we reflect in this month of December, looking toward the celebration of the birth of our Savior, and reflect on this account where wise men came at Jesus' birth, I pray, Lord God, while it's a beautiful story and a beautiful picture, I pray that you would help us today to receive your word, Lord God, in knowing that it's the word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a word that is at work in our lives. It's a word that always accomplishes what it is sent forth to do. So I pray that this passage, Lord God, will be just as real in our lives as any other. Speak to our hearts through it. Equip us, we pray, to live for you in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you're at home or in this room with me, if you would pray with me right now. Father, here I am. I am yours. Direct my path for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ever have things not go according to plan? Sure you have. We all have had that happen many times in life where you thought things were going to go one way and then it turns out they went another way. I got on an airplane one time to fly to Dallas, Texas, and the plane landed in Shreveport, Louisiana. Well, that wasn't the plan. The plane got rerouted due to a storm during the flight. I went through the drive-thru at McDonald's and ordered one thing, paid and pulled away and opened my bag, and guess what? Talk to me. It wasn't what I ordered. Come on, it's probably happened to you as well. And I was like, that isn't what I ordered, and that wasn't what I thought I was going to get in this situation. And I've ordered something online, and when it arrived, it wasn't what I thought was coming. And I drove to Chick-fil-A for some delicious nuggets and waffle fries, and I got there, and it was Sunday. Oh, the pain of Sunday on a Chick-fil-A, and it's closed, and it's like, oh, I forgot again, and this happens. And we've all had these things happen, but These are simple things. Another flight got me to Dallas. I just ate what McDonald's gave me. I returned the item to Amazon. I go across the street to another restaurant. But in life, sometimes we get rerouted on a far more serious note than simple things like that, because life doesn't always go how we think it's going to go, and it sure doesn't always go how we hope it's going to go. That's for sure as well. We've all experienced that. It happened to the wise men when they followed the star. This was the trip of a lifetime. I mean, this was a trip that had to be well-financed. It took a couple of years to make. They had these tremendous gifts with them. What an opportunity this was. And they're following this star, and this is an unbelievable thing that they're undertaking. These men who looked to the stars, they spotted a new one night during their stargazing, and this was no ordinary star. And the Bible doesn't tell us how they knew. We just know that they knew it was a prophetic star. Now, we know from the account where we read that God spoke to the wise men in a dream at one point. Maybe they had a dream that told them it was a prophetic star. I don't know how they knew. We're not told that part of the story. But somehow, these stargazers saw a star and knew that's not an ordinary star. That's a star to be followed. It's a prophetic star. And in fact, they knew exactly what they were looking for. They knew they were looking for the one who had been born the King of the Jews. We know that that when they arrived, they began asking about that. When they came, they were in search of one who had been born to fill this role of king. They followed the star in order to find him. Now, these individuals, these wise men, they weren't kings as tradition holds. My wife grew up, of course, celebrating King's Day, or Three Kings Day in Puerto Rico, and traditionally we'll often refer to the wise men as kings. The wise men, of course, weren't actually kings, and the Bible never says they were kings. They were magi. They were significant individuals, but not actual kings, but they were in positions of great authority. They held great significance in the kingdom of Babylon, and we find them in the Bible, not first in Matthew. When we read about the wise men in Matthew, it's easy to think that that's the first time they ever come on the scene, but you actually find them in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. That's where we're first introduced to wise men in the Bible. And you remember Daniel. After interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the king elevated him in Babylon. And in Daniel 2:48, I'll show this to you. Daniel 2:48 says, "Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its what? Wise men." It's the same term. It's the magi. Daniel is placed in charge of the wise men there in Babylon. The wise men in Babylon weren't kings but held enormous power. They appointed judges and magistrates over the kingdom. And history tells us that no one would become the king of Babylon without also being confirmed by the wise men or the magi. They would be a part of that process of saying, yeah, it's you. So how significant that God would select them from that other kingdom and show them this star that they saw in the east, and not just a star, but his star, as it's called. I see stars every night just like you see stars, but they're just stars. But they didn't see a star. They say they saw his star. Again, they knew it was a prophetic star that they were following. And they came again looking for one born king of the Jews. Well, the Jews already had a king. They had King Herod, but he wasn't born the king. Herod became the king through payoffs and manipulation and through killing people. In fact, he had killed countless people in order to get into the position that he was in. He was brutal altogether as a leader. He had constant disputes even after his appointment from Caesar with Caesar Augustus. And Caesar once said, and this is a quote, "I would rather be Herod's pig than his son." He was a brutal individual altogether. He's the king, but he's not born the king. The wise men are following a star, but not to find Herod. They're looking for one who is born king of the Jews. And although they're following a star, his star, they make an assumption. They make an assumption. This star, they're following it at night. I'm guessing they're sleeping during the day or else they're drinking an incredible amount of coffee. I don't know. But they're following this star on all of this time, and they're following it at night. And as they went on their journey, as the star took them, they approached Jerusalem, and the wise men made an assumption when they got to Jerusalem. Our destination is over. This is it. We don't have to follow his star anymore. We've made it. Now, that wasn't true, but they assumed it on their own when they got to Jerusalem. It's not a weird assumption. Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, and they had been told that they were coming to find the one who had been born king of the Jews. If you were looking for the leader of the United States, it wouldn't be weird that you would end up in Washington, D.C. It would make sense that you would go to the capital. If you were looking for the leader of Jamaica, it isn't odd you would go to Kingston or El Salvador to San Salvador or Brazil to Brasilia. Is that right? Yeah, or wherever. Sierra Leone. Where's Donald? Freetown, I think, or whatever is the capital. If you were looking for the king, I have confirmation right down here for Sierra Leone, yes. If you were looking for the king of a country, it's not odd that you would go to the capital. They get to Jerusalem, they stop there. They think, this is it, the journey is over, we've made it. And they go into Jerusalem, and they wander around the city. And this is not just three individuals, we don't even know how many of them there were, but they're wealthy, and you know they're traveling with the whole entourage, because the Bible says that the whole city was stirred up at them arriving. If three people show up in Silver Spring, you probably aren't even going to hear about it. But this is a large group of individuals. They are wealthy. They've got all their staff with them, everybody, and they show up in town, and they're wandering around this city asking this question, where is the one who's born king of the Jews? But Jesus wasn't there. Herod hears about these guys and calls them in. We read it. He tries to trick them. When you find the baby, let me know so that I can go worship him. And because they find out we're in the wrong place. They brought in religious leaders, and they find out the baby's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So what happens the next night? They thought their journey was over, but it wasn't. And the star keeps going. So now they follow the star to their actual destination, where they head to this little town called Bethlehem. It's a quaint little town. Jesus is no longer in the manger. A little time has passed. Now, if you come see our living nativity, our wise men are going to be at the nativity. It'll look cool. We like that. But in the actual Bible account, the wise men don't come to the manger scene. They come later, perhaps as much as 2 years later. And as you saw when I read in Matthew, the Bible specifically says they find Jesus in a house, not at the manger scene is where they are. If Jesus is, I've often said, still in the manger 2 years later, someone needs to call Child Protective Services and report Joseph and Mary and say, come on, it's been 2 years already. So they're not still in the manger scene any longer, but they come to what would be a quaint little home. And we know it's a quaint little home because we know that Joseph and Mary are a couple of very low income. We know that when they dedicated Jesus on the eighth day of his life, the Bible says that they brought two doves as their sacrifice. And we know from Leviticus that you only brought two doves if you couldn't afford a sheep. So we know that they were bringing the offering of a low-income couple. So we know their living circumstances are very humble, and the wise men show up to whatever was their humble home. And here the day before, they were dining in the palace of King Herod, and now they enter the home of a low-income couple in a little town. It isn't what they expected. Nothing about the way the wise men found Jesus would have been the way they had expected it when they began their journey. But they bowed down and worshiped Jesus. They gave him these extravagant gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then rather than go back and tell Herod like he had asked, they are warned in a dream to take a different route home. So let me ask you this question today. What do you do if you follow a star? What do you do if you believed you were following the leading of God in your life, but it doesn't take you to where you thought you were going? Just let that hang there for a second. What do you do if you followed what you believed was God leading you in your life, and in fact was God leading in your life, but when you got to the end of the journey, it's not where you ever thought you were going. It's not where you thought you were traveling to. What decision do we make in that time? And it's an important question because life is like that. Life is filled with unexpected twists and turns and unexpected destinations. And even when you follow Jesus, he isn't always where you thought he would be. And I know people who have followed God's call to plant new churches in cities or towns or communities. And they went in with great enthusiasm knowing this is what God called me to do. And they got there and nothing went how they thought it was going to go. Nothing worked out how they thought it would work out. I've known people who rejoiced over the opportunity to come to America from another nation. Come on, we can relate to that one around here. And when they got to America, they discovered, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. This isn't where I thought I was going. They followed what they believed was the leading of God, and in fact, even was the leading of God in an open door, but the star didn't lead to where they thought they were going. From family to career to ministry to education, what do you do when you follow His star? Not just any star, His star, and it doesn't go to where you thought you were going. To learn from the wise men today with some quick lessons to glean from them, I want to encourage you, when that happens in your life and where you end up is not where you thought you would be, look for Jesus. He will still be there. He will still be there. That's what happened with them. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2 this: we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I wonder what it was like for the wise men, what went on with their heads when the star first stopped over the house in Bethlehem. When the star had passed over Jerusalem, they were happy and thought, this is it. But now the star kept going and went to the little town of Bethlehem, and I wonder what thoughts went through their heads. You would think they would be disappointed, but instead the Bible says they were overjoyed. It wasn't what they thought it would be, but they went in anyway, and when they went into the little house anyway, who was there? Jesus was there. Jesus was there. Who they were looking for was there. When you follow God with your life and nothing still seems to go how you thought it was going to go, and you end up in a place where you never thought you would be, look for Jesus. He will still be there. He will still be there. He will still be with you. He always is. When the Hebrew people were entering the land God had promised them, they were warned that there would be lots of obstacles in the way. There would be battles to be fought. There would be things to overcome. But they weren't to be afraid. God's promise was, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And that's still God's promise to those who follow him. And even if it seems like you lose everything on your journey, if you still have Jesus, then you have all you need to keep moving forward. You have what it takes. The Bible tells us that when John followed Jesus, he ended up exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He was imprisoned. Exiled means he was put there as an outcast for preaching the gospel. This is John the Apostle John. So he was put on the Isle of Patmos. It's an island where prisoners are put, and he was just put there to live out the rest of his days to die. Surely, when John followed Jesus, he never thought that where he would end up would be on an island with prisoners left there to die. I don't think that's where I'm going to end up when I follow Jesus. That's not where you think you're going to end up when you follow Jesus. John couldn't have thought it either, but it was where it took him. And there on the Isle of Patmos, where he ended up exiled in that place, we read early on in the book of Revelation that John, it says it was on the Lord's day, and he was in the Spirit. He was in a time of prayer on that island, and he heard a loud voice from behind him, and he turned around, and who was standing there but Jesus himself? Jesus was on the island. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His words were, do not be afraid. And on that island is where John would write the book of Revelation that we still have to this day. God wasn't finished. John's star had not led, or his star that he had followed to where he ever thought he would go. But Jesus was still there. Jesus still had a plan. Jesus still had a purpose. And he will over your life and my life as well. Your path may not go where you thought it would lead, but Jesus will be there. John then did the same thing the wise men did. Same thing. When John got to a destination he didn't think he would be at, he did the same thing the wise men did. When you follow that star and it doesn't lead to where you thought you were going, the next thing I would encourage you to do today would be to bow down and worship. To bow down and worship. Continue to worship your God. Psalm 145:3 says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. God's ways are beyond our ways. I don't always know what is the best end to the road that I would travel. God doesn't think the way I would think. His ways are beyond our understanding. So keep worshiping no matter where you end up. God is still worthy of your worship. God is always worthy of your praise. I think of David. It's a story that always inspires me. I've shared on it before, but when David lost everything, David, who was hired, he had this mercenary contract with the Philistines. They were paying him enough that he had 400 men working for him, and they were footing the bill, and David lost it all. He lost the contract. Everybody lost their jobs. David lost his job. He looked at his men, said, "We got to go back home. We've lost everything." He got back home, and when he got to his hometown, what did he find? The town had been attacked. Everyone's home had been burned to the ground, and their families had been kidnapped and hauled away. And the men sat there weeping and devastated. They had just lost all of their income. They get home. They've lost their families, their homes, everything. And then the men started whispering to each other, "Let's kill David. Let's kill David. He's the one who got us into this. He's the one who lost the contract. He's the one who led us and got us into this situation. Let's kill him." And then there's that powerful passage where the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. This is the same David who testified, "I will bless the Lord at all times." When you lose your job, all times. If your home burned down, all times. If things were terrible in the family, all times. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth," was David's declaration. Let it continually be in your mouth as well, even when life isn't going where you thought it would or the way you thought it would. When Paul and Silas were found locked in a jail cell, beaten for preaching the gospel, you know what they were doing? Praising. That's what they were doing. We read it in Acts. When Peter was arrested and flogged for telling people about Jesus, you know what he did? He rejoiced that he was counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. That's incredible to think about. Unbelievable. Don't stop worshiping just because it looks like you came to a dead end. Never forget that our God is a God who makes roads. Come on. He makes roads in the wilderness. He sends rivers in the desert. Man, if my God makes roads, then I never come to a dead end. Hello. I could be driving in my car and come to a road that says dead end and that's it. But in my life, if my life looks like a dead end, it's never really a dead end because my God makes roads. Your God makes a way. Keep following him. Worship him in that place. You could say, "Pastor, I'm at a dead end job. This relationship, my finances, whatever it is, it's a dead end." Your God makes a way out of no way. Don't forget it. The next thing to remember when things don't go how you thought would be to do what they did as well, and that is to give God your best. To give God your best. I wonder if it crossed the wise men's minds to just keep the gifts. I wonder if they thought about just keeping them. I don't know. I mean, these were expensive gifts. Gold. The myrrh alone was worth more than a year's wages of an average worker at that time. These were expensive gifts. These were extravagant gifts. Can you imagine walking in and looking around and being like, "Hey, don't let him see the gold. Just give him a rattle or something, or he's just a baby." I don't know if such a thing ever would have crossed their minds, but that's not what they did. They walked in and they saw him. They bowed down and worshiped, and they gave him the gifts. They presented him these extravagant gifts that they had brought, gifts for the Messiah. You remember the little drummer boy? Not Abner, not him in his Grinch outfit today. Not that little drummer boy. I know there was no real drummer boy, a little drummer boy. I know it's a fictional story, but as you recall the story, you'll remember what he gave to Jesus. He came and what did he say in the story of the little drummer boy? "I don't have anything." So what did he do? He played his drum. So that was his best. The best he had, it's a great little story, although it's fictional, was to give God his best. Consider with me Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, it tells us this. "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine." Come on, everybody wants to be blessed. Our role is give God your best, the best of what you produce to him. Elsewhere we read in the scriptures in Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." So when life takes us in a direction we didn't see coming, when the God who gave his only son, I mean, come on, God gave us his best, amen? God gave us his only son, so God gave us his best. When it does, he deserves our best in return. And God doesn't expect me to offer what he expects you to offer, because my best isn't your best. And we're all at different places in our walks with God, and different talents and different abilities and different callings. But no matter who we are, God expects your best and my best to be offered back to him. Whatever that is, be the best you can be for him is what God would desire out of each of us, praise God. One final thought that I would encourage you with today that happened with these wise men from that account that we read today. They followed his star, they got there, things hadn't gone the way they would have thought. When that happens in your life, be willing to do what they did as well, and that's change directions. Change directions. You see, God hadn't stopped speaking. God hadn't stopped leading them. In their case, the next step came in a dream. They had a dream at night, and in the dream, God told them, they already had a plan. They had a route that they were going to take home. They knew what their plan was, and God says, "We're not going to do that. I need for you to go this way instead." So although it looked like maybe this was over, God was still leading them in their lives. It could come to you in a dream. It could happen in your life. It could also happen through a still small voice in your heart in a time of prayer. You could feel like, well, things haven't gone how I thought they would. How did this ever happen in my life? This looks like it's over. Man, let God keep leading you in your life to what is next. Follow his calling. Follow his leading in your own life. Also, again, it could come through that still small voice. It could come through an open door of opportunity. Paul spoke of that, an open door before him, and he knew to walk through it. It could come through a passage of scripture that speaks to you. God spoke through a passage of scripture to me in a very revolutionary way, a life-changing way in my life. I'd pastored the same church for nearly 23 years, and reading one day in Deuteronomy, when I read a passage that said, "You have stayed at this mountain long enough," it was like it leapt off the page at me. Was the confirmation where I knew God was speaking to my heart that God wanted me to move on to something else at that point. It's what ended up bringing us here. We didn't know where it would be. We just knew we got to keep following the leading of God. The leading of God. We all do, no matter who we are. It could come through the counsel of a godly friend. Whatever, however, let the Holy Spirit lead you. 2020 has had some wild twists and turns as it winds down. We know that. But in reality, every year does. We say sometimes in this year things like, well, there's never been a year like this one. And maybe that's true in some regard, but let's be for real. There's been years that are a whole lot worse than this one if you study history. I mean, we're not living through a world war or plague or horrible famine. Or I'm sure there are some who have gone before us who would look at us and think, your year's not really that bad from some things that have happened. But it's still been a crazy year for us, that's for sure. It's been a crazy year for sure with all that has happened along the way. Every year, of course, has twists and turns with it. We don't know what will happen in the year even to come, what will happen next. When following his star, though, doesn't take you to where you thought you were going, let the Holy Spirit keep leading you. God knew what 2020 would be like. God knew about the transitions that would happen in our lives and how things would be different. He knew that, so we let God keep directing our paths. Never forget Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I want to invite Juliana and the worship team to come back to join me at this time. The Christmas season, as we head into 2021, I'm believing for God to make our paths straight. To make our paths straight. There might be a student in the room or at home watching where maybe you had plans for your education this year. You thought you were going to go back to school in a certain way. You thought things were going to go a certain way, and nothing happened in 2020 how you thought it was, and you thought God was in it. Well, it doesn't mean God wasn't in it. It doesn't mean he wasn't, student. When you follow God and it doesn't go how you thought it was going to go, you keep worshiping him. You give God your best. You let God change your direction, and you keep following his leading. It doesn't just have to be a student, of course. It could be an adult. It might have happened in the workplace. It could have happened on your job. It could have happened anywhere along the way where we get redirected in our lives, as happened with them. When it does, what do? We look for Jesus. Come on. He's still there. We worship. He's still worthy. We give God our best, because that's what God gave for us. And we allow God to continue to direct our journey. Would you stand with me? If you're at home, I hope you're present with us right now. You're present with us. You might even want to stand up if you're at home. Because it's my prayer, my hope, that God will make our paths straight and fulfill that promise in our lives. I know He will. We sang this song that we're going to sing now. We sang it during our time of worship. This song that sings of believing for God to do things again in our lives. I want us to sing it now before I pray to close us. And we can sing it as a prayer, as a declaration to God together today in our lives. And if you're not at a dead end now, let this word equip you for when it comes. But if you are, maybe things haven't all worked out this year how you thought they would, you keep following Him and trusting in Him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Lead us in this if you would. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your word. We're dependent on you. The longer we live for you, the more we realize how dependent we are on you, Lord God. We need you. We need you more now than we needed you yesterday, Lord God. The more we learn about ourselves, the more we learn of how less we are by comparison to who you are, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I pray for your fresh leading in our lives. Leading in our lives. These men that we consider today, they followed his star. They were following your leading in their lives, and yet it still didn't lead to where they thought they were going. God, it's happened in my life. It happens in our lives. Would you help us, God? Would you help us to do as they did, Lord God? To keep looking for you, to keep our eyes on Jesus. To continue to worship you and trust in you, Lord God, giving you our all. And we trust, God, you'll keep making our path straight before us as well, Lord God. I pray right now, straight paths over your church, Lord God. I pray it over everybody in this room and everybody at home watching right now. I pray straight paths over us right now in the name of Jesus. Divine direction that makes your path plain, your path plain. But even if that plain path doesn't go where I thought it was going to go, you'll keep leading. You'll keep providing that direction, Lord God. We thank you for it. We trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise. Amen. Amen. That's a good word. That's a good word. Amen. Hey, if you're at home here in this room, God bless you. Live victoriously in Jesus this week. I'm glad you are with us today. Amen. Let's honor him all week as you live for him. God bless you. Amen.